Thank you, Jesus. Scripture that comes to mind this morning. Yesterday I was preaching a passage around Halstead's church, Rock Solid Church up in Hudson, New York. It was a powerful time. He had a Bible school weekend. He preached Friday night, Pastor Ernie Fink, Saturday morning, and I took the dead man's shift Saturday afternoon. Anybody who's ever been to a conference will always know that the after-lunch meeting is dead man's shift. Hallelujah. And you have to make sure that you use all the tricks of the trade to keep people's attention. Well, bless God. It was a blessed time. It was a wonderful time. And it was on supernatural living. Supernatural living. And I was talking about how there's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural. The Bible says that the children of Israel, they saw the ways of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. So therefore, the children of Israel just went, wow, where Moses went, watch this. And that's what I'm always interested in. I'm not really interested in the wows of this world. I'm interested in the watch this of this world. And so it's like everything else. If anybody likes football like I do, and we remember that Super Bowl when Peyton Manning in the last couple of minutes of the game did the most miraculous escape act. Looked like he was going to be sacked. Does anybody remember? Where's Tony when you need him? Why are you quiet on me? What are you doing back there? And he's incognito. And he did this amazing escape act. Looked like he was going to get sacked. Instead, he seemed to wriggle it, and he was still on his feet. And then he hoofed this crazy ball. And then, was his name Tyree or somebody? What was that guy's name? And he caught it on his helmet, this guy, you remember? And then fell down. Now, of course, there was about 50 of us downstairs, 48 Giants fans and two New England fans who are no longer in the church. Some people take their sport seriously, right? And did I tell you that New England was 18-0 at the time? And then the wild card Giants that played every game away to get to the Super Bowl, then they scored a touchdown and everybody went crazy. But we were all the wows. Not one of us was the watch this. And so we must consider these things in our lives. Are you a wow or a watch this? And if you want to live a supernatural life, you know, you can only wow so many times where you're going to just get bored with the next wow and the next wow and the next wow. And can't we have some 3D wow and high def wow and 4G wow, because the old wow ain't got no wow in it anymore. Am I right or am I right? Help me, somebody. So my question is, you know, have you got any real wow in your life? Have you got any real participation in what God died for to give this inherited blessing? And the greatest thing that I believe that anybody can receive from God is trust. Trust. The scripture is very clear. It's my wife's favorite scripture. We know it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, right? Trust in the Lord. I'm not even going to finish it. Four little words. Trust in the Lord. It goes on to say, with all your heart and lean not on your own education. I'd like to remind you that everybody's situation in life is based primarily on your sovereign foundation. So according to wherever you were born and to whom you were born, being as you had no choice, and where you lived, has so much to do with your trustometer. Hallelujah. Now, our family has always been a family, we thank God, where I was preaching yesterday that I don't know if I've ever met anybody that takes words more seriously than I do. I take words extremely seriously. That's why you don't, I don't never. In fact, I remember, is Gracie here or is she going downstairs? Oh, Gracie, a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, you and Sarah were in the kitchen and you were arguing and fighting as usual. And so I said, that's it. I've had enough of you. I said, I'm going to have to sell one of you two. And Sarah got mad. She got so mad, she looked at me and she said, Dad. I went, well, she said, I said, well, you know, obviously I don't mean that. She said, you never raised us that way. She was so mad at me that I would even think of saying such a thing about one of my daughters. That's how serious we are in our house about words. That's why, as I've told you the story before, you know, about when my son went to Iraq with the United States Marine Corps, how God spoke to me. And let me just remind you the story. I went down to North Carolina, said goodbye to him on the way back in Virginia. I was preaching at a campground, and as I went to get up to get in the pulpit, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you can worry about your son as soon as I worry about you. And here he understands that God has never worried a nanosecond in his eternity, right? So I knew nothing could happen about my son. Now, what I also want to remind you is a few days later, when we walked into my bedroom when we lived in Greenville, my wife was looking out of the window crying. She was crying because her firstborn son was going to Iraq with the Marine Corps. Yeah, exactly, if you can understand what that implication is. And so she was crying, and I went to her and put my arm around her to comfort her, obviously, and said, well, why are you crying? God told me he was going to be okay. You see, but the bottom line is, God told me, but he didn't tell her. Because I got the, watch this, but she still had the, wow. She hadn't heard from God. She didn't have faith, because faith hadn't come. You see, faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. No other way. My stories do not give you faith. My stories give you hope. And then your faith builds the substance on the things hoped for and is the proof of things not seen. So therefore, trust is what life is all about. Are you in a trusting relationship? Have you ever been betrayed by somebody? Have you ever been betrayed by somebody? Remember, you can only be betrayed by people who love you. You can only be betrayed by people you love. Strangers can't betray me because they can't touch me, right? People I don't care about. I remember a guy once go for it. I remember once a guy came here and he was very ambitious. And you know, I hate ambition because ambition has self in it. And self-seeking is a very dangerous thing. It produces envy and strife and confusion and every evil work. That's why self-seeking is a dangerous. Ambition has got you in it. Purpose has God in it. So anyway, this guy, I don't know what I said, what I preached or whatever was going on. And so I got a letter from him, which I ignored, and then he went to a person he worked with. He was with from another ministry. And so they sent me this letter about something I've said. And so I wrote back and said, well, what makes you think I put any value in your opinion? Now, that sounds cruel, doesn't it? Because he's just a wow. Are you having a hard time with this morning, or am I having a hard time with this? You see, I don't just listen to people's opinions that are just going to throw scriptures at me and are just going to tell me all about somebody they once knew, three times removed, who did this, that, or the other. I'm only going to listen to what you did. I'm only going to listen to your faith. I'm only going to listen to what you have already proved that God is faithful and you trust him. I actually get tired of third-hand stories. A lot of people, they come up to me when, you know, we're trying to do something. They say, oh, well, I knew a brother in Texas who has said, I don't care about the brother in Texas. When I meet the brother in Texas and we're in fellowship, I'll be interested in the brother in Texas. In the meantime, keep your story to yourself. I don't want to hear it. Don't come and tell me about what Smith Wigglesworth did or Brother Hagen did or what anybody else did. I want to know, what are you doing? What are you doing? And this is the most important thing in life. You see, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I remember once Alice was outside of our house in Greenville and she was talking to a friend. And she said, oh, your house is so nice, and because we'd sided the house, put a new deck on the front, blacktopped the driveway. And I heard Alice through the window say, yeah, whatever Dad says always comes to pass. Now, wouldn't you like children that actually could say that about you? Don't you think God would like children that say that about him? Come on, somebody, help me this morning. I want to go somewhere with this thought. What do you think? Why do you think the scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God? For those who come to him must know that he is, and that he's a rewarder for those diligently seek him. And so faith is what it's all about. You can call it trust, you can call it faith, but it's all the same thing. Have you been betrayed? Have you been let down? Have you been let down by parents, by a spouse? You've gone through a brutal divorce, whatever it is. Have you been the betrayer? Because that's one thing I love about Paul. Paul was a betrayer. Now, he was also betrayed because he was given information incorrectly by the Sanhedrin, by the people in authority. They told him that this Jesus was a false Messiah. Yes, they betrayed him. And does that give him an excuse? Oh, I was betrayed. That's why I was so brutal. I was betrayed. That's why I beat people. That's why I locked them in prison. Is that our excuse? You were betrayed, so now, therefore, you can do anything you like because you have a good excuse. You were betrayed. I'm sorry, no. You cannot have that excuse. Because Paul had his own faith. And as I've said so many times in 2 Corinthians 1:24, I have no dominion over your faith. I'm just the help of your joy, for by faith you stand. By faith you stand. And that's what I'm always interested in. In these last days, when we got that word there from Annette earlier, in these last days, trust me, only faith is how you're going to stand. Whatever system you're dependent on, believe me, it's going to fail. Why am I so confident? Well, the scripture says the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And we know that every system of this world is going to fail. It's going to collapse. Which is one of the reasons when we talk about the story of faith, how the scripture talks about Moses, and it says this. It says, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Did you hear that? He refused to be called that. So, you know, there's a certain element in our life that before we do anything for God, we have to refuse some things. We have to refuse some things. I refuse to be a victim of betrayal by my parents, by my boyfriend, by my girlfriend. I refuse that. I am not going to use that as an excuse. Now, the reason why I'm so persuaded about this is because I was the master of excuses nearly all my life. To tell you the quick version, so many of you have heard it. So growing up all my life, I played rugby, and I played rugby from when I was 10 years old, and I just loved the game. It was my life. It wasn't a sport. It was my life. When I got older and I worked night shift, I used to play rugby 3 times a week. I used to play Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday afternoons. It was my life. But I remember as a boy in school how the annual cross-country run, which I thought was undeniably the worst pastime in the British Empire. And so I said, I am not doing that. I am not going to run up and down hills, over gates, through fences, through with on a muddy, rainy day, because it was England, so it's bound to be muddy and rainy. And so I got my mother to write me a note. Please excuse Vaughan from the cross-country run because of his heart condition, because I was born with a hole in the heart. But they still let me play rugby. And I got away with it. And I regret that to this day. Well, not to this day, but I regret it. Why? I had an optional out. You see, the gym teachers had said, "Oh, Gerald," because there were no first names in my school. "Gerald, can't do cross-country run, eh? I guess you're out the rugby team then." And that would have been it. I would have been on the cross-country run. And my mother should have said, "Oh, okay, you're man enough to play rugby, then man up and do the run." But both of them let me get away with it. So I played it. I played it. 1 minute, my heart. You don't know how near death I was when I was 4 years old. And the next minute, "Yeah, let's go play, let's kick someone, yeah." And so that's what we're like in life. We're like that in life. 1 minute, we want God, do something for me. My God will supply all my needs. My God is my healer. And the next minute, I can't pay my gas bill. Oh, you don't know the trouble I've seen. You can't play both games. Stop thinking you can play both games. You can't do that. You're one or the other. You're either in faith or you're not. That's it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And so that's why it's so important that we can't be a people who have selective weaknesses. Selective weaknesses. Now, don't get me wrong, and I decided this morning to say this publicly. I've been diagnosed, I always say diagnosed, because you might have heard this morning, there was a great testimony about Suzette's friend, cousin. But don't ever call it my cancer. Don't ever own that sucker. That is not your cancer, it's the devil's cancer. Right? Don't own that. But I've been diagnosed with two incurable things. And so they're both actually, they're not life-threatening as per se, but they're both very tormenting. And there are times when I'm torn between, should I stay up all night and pray and fast until God sets me free from it? Or should I do the easier route, which is go to the doctor? Gone quiet in here. I'm not blaming anybody. Go doctors, I go. All right? So just, you know, I'm going next week because I need a couple of shots in my knees. Because for some reason they hurt. I don't have had anything to do with playing rugby 3 times a week, but it certainly wasn't the cross-country run that did it. But wherever you are, and there's some new people in this place, and there's some people that you may feel underprivileged, you may feel a victim. That's one thing I loved about that lady's communication on. She never gave the impression she was a victim of that abortion attempt. Does everybody know that we have an abortion survivor in our church? We have an abortion survivor in our church. And when they introduced themselves to this lady on Friday night, she just about lost it. It was just the greatest thing. Yeah, we have someone in this church that was a twin. And the twin was aborted and they lived. Now, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to be now have a, why me? Why did I live and they die? You know, like a Vietnam syndrome. Or are you going to be rejoicing that you're alive? Thanking God that despite whatever, you're alive and you have life and you have it more abundantly. You have to choose. Are you feeling sorry for yourself because you may be in a sort of Section 8 program, or you're on the receiving end of a Thanksgiving dinner from somebody else? Are you feeling sorry for yourself because of what you can't do, because, oh, woe is me, you don't know the trouble I've seen? Or are you going to begin to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? It's your option. It's your choice. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I don't know what you do. I don't know how you pray. I think the reason why a lot of people don't go to prayer meetings is you've been to prayer meetings and they're boring and dry and negative and full of unbelief. That's because you ain't been to one of ours. Our prayer meetings are not boring or negative or full of unbelief. And so this is what goes on. Is your testimony one of failure or one of victory or a mixed batch, which I understand? So I want us to look just for a few minutes, and let's look at the obvious. I'm talking about your trustometer. Where did you lose your innocence? When did you lose your innocence? I tell a story so many times. When the children were young, you put them on top of the fridge and say, jump. And they just jump. And when they get hurt and they get sick, they come to you and just lay hands on them and say, okay, Jesus is going to heal you. You ready? Yeah. You ready? Yes, Dad. Okay, here we go. No more pain in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was writing on, Alice posted a fantastic thing on Facebook. Well, I liked it. They were Band-Aids made in the shapes of lips. I thought they were fantastic. I'd like to get some. If you ever see them, buy me a can. I would love that. You know, and he said, go, a kiss for your boo-boo, you know? Well, all I want to say is stop kissing the boo-boos. Pray for them. There is no ministry of laying on of lips. Ministry of laying on of hands, hallelujah. You know, most children, they don't have faith in God because mummy, when they see a cat, goes, wah! It's a nick on her foot, for goodness sake. Why are you falling apart? It's because you don't trust God. So now your child doesn't trust God. So you trust in your medical insurance with all your heart. And now your daughter's going to do it. You understand where I'm coming from? Do you understand how this comes? And how you have to begin to build, if you want a supernatural life, you have to begin to build faith in your heart. You have to build faith in your spirit. You have to do these things. Because as this country gets worse and worse and begins to decline rapidly, you've got to understand that if you are not living by faith, your options will be minimal. Refuse to be called the son. Refuse to say, I am. I can't really say this. So, for how many years have my daughters been living in trailers? Yeah, I'm going to say this, you all right? Because I'm looking at all my friends. If your testimony is, oh, I'm the son of white trailer trash. What? We're always picking on the hood. Come on. We're always picking on the hood. Let's pick on the rednecks. I refuse to be called the son of white trailer trash. Because according to Galatians 3:26, we're all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But you have to choose. That's not God's choice. He's already made his mind up about it. You have to make your mind up. Whose son and whose daughter are you? I remember when I first started this church there, we were in the other building about 10 or 12 years ago, and I said, and this is going to ruffle a few feathers, all right, get ready, because I'm going to pluck you. Now, I'm telling you, poverty to a Christian in America is a choice. Did you all hear what I just said? Poverty to a Christian in America is a choice. Now, you may have been born into it, but you got to refuse to be called the son of poverty's daughter. Can you hear what I'm saying? It's your choice. It's not my choice. And I can't help you until you make up your mind and say, enough! Let's face it, we know poverty is a spirit. We know it's part of the sin nature, right? Sin, sickness, poverty, they're all part depression, misery, rejection. They're all part of the sin nature. They've got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Sorrow and misery are a choice. They're a choice. Now, bad hair days, we understand. But as a lifestyle, yeah, we have bad hair days. As a lifestyle, we must not choose that. We must refuse to be called the son of an alcoholic's daughter. You're going to refuse it. Just the way that Daniel, when he was in exile, and we're all in exile, don't you realize this is not your home? If you think America's your home, I feel sorry for you. It may be the greatest nation on the earth, but it sure ain't home, hallelujah. We cannot allow this home to become our focus. We got to get set free from it. How? It's actually very simple. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we've always got excuses. Now, remember when I shared this in Saugerties a few weeks ago, and I said it again yesterday. I was with Chris Privett. We were out on the road when we went to Jerome's. And I said, you know what, Chris? I was never more than a 4 to, on a scale of 1 to 10. Nothing in my life did I ever exceed a 7. In any one thing. I was between a 4 and a 7 in everything. I was the ultimate underachiever. The only reason I was a face in the crowd is because you could see me. So, you know, and for years, I used this as an excuse. I never achieved anything in my life. You hear other people, they were straight A students. I even met people who liked school. What? Say that again? What did you just say you like school? That was the most peculiar. When I heard people say, I love school. Wow. To me, it was like worshiping a cow or something. It was. It was so far from my thought patterns. That's how far it was. But I want to tell you, Daniel was in captivity and he refused to eat the delicacies from Babylon's table. He refused. The guy says, yeah, right, you're going to get me in trouble, mate. You're going to eat it. So I'll tell you what we do. I'll go on a fast. I'll just eat vegetables and pulse. If you read the King James Bible, the menu changes when they change the translation. It was an English joke. I liked it. So, but he refused. And sure enough, he did what his conviction was telling him to do, and he flourished. Amen. Right? Now, are you refusing? Are you refusing? Because if you're going to trust God, you've got to do some refusing. You've got to refuse the delicacies. Refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You've got to refuse these things before you can accept certain things. Praise God. Good stuff, this God stuff. Trust in the Lord. Okay. I'd almost like to go through a list in your mind, a trustometer. I know many of you have been divorced. To me, that is obviously incredibly tragic. But Paul killed people and then said, oh, I know nothing against myself. Can you imagine? The annoying part is he said it in front of the people that commissioned him to do it. That'd be like a hitman going to the mob and saying, I know nothing against myself. Can you imagine the chutzpah? Do you know what chutzpah is? Chutzpah is the one of the greatest words in, I don't know if it's Yiddish or Hebrew, but it's just a good word. Hallelujah. The definition of chutzpah is a man who shoots his parents and then asks for clemency because he's an orphan. Now, that's a good one, right? Yeah. That's chutzpah, right? So Paul had chutzpah. And then another time he said, I've served God with a good conscience until this day. Everyone's going, the guy's, what is wrong with him? He refused to be called the son of a Pharisee. Can you hear what I'm saying? I don't care what your background is, what your sovereign birth was. It's got nothing to do with who God is declaring you to be. Nothing at all. Unless you want it to, because you have to choose. Now, one of my favorite stories in all this subject is good old Joseph, right? And Joseph, I mean, talk about paint a target on your chest. Comes up, right, he's got the coat. They must have hated that coat, eh? He probably had some bling to go with it, you know. So he came out with a coat, probably had his hat on backwards. And he said, hey, guys, guess what? I had a dream. You're going to bow down to me. Yeah, that's going to happen. So we know the story. They were going to kill him. They changed him. They threw him in a pit. He went into slavery. And then while he was in slavery, he was falsely accused. They threw him in prison. And a guy, when he had a dream about the guy said, don't worry, I'll speak to Pharaoh. But he forgot, was in there for another 2 years. Now, if anyone could have an attitude, it would be Joseph. Come on. And then when he came out, Pharaoh gave him a wife. And he had two children. The first one he called Manasseh, which means forgetful. And the second one was called Ephraim, which means fruitful. You see, if you're going to do anything for God, you've got to start birthing forgetfulness. Come on, folks. You got to start birthing forgetfulness. You got to start birthing. You got to forget where you were raised. You got to forget what a hard time you had as a kid. You got to forget that you were used or abused or sworn at or told how useless you were going to be. I was told that. I even officially left school with the paper that proved I was useless because I failed every single. I thought a D was a reason to celebrate. Now, I'm only telling you this. I mean, it's like it bothers me now. Yeah, right. A D was something to sell. Wow, look at that. I didn't fail. You see what I'm saying? Manasseh. Ephraim. Beloved, I've not yet apprehended what I've been apprehended for. But there's one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind, and I reach out to that which is before. Until you deal with these things, because we get tied. Most of the pastors don't, but I'm not actually anointed to be a pastor, in case you haven't figured that out. In case you haven't thought that one through yet. Last week, I was in a fighting mood when I got out of the pulpit. So I was going around, and I spoke to one young lady. And I said, you need to stop. We need you. Don't you realize you're supposed to be going on a mission trip? You know, I'm just like, meh. I said to another young lady, bless her cotton socks. I said, come on, you know you can preach. You're a natural talker. In fact, you talk too much. But the point is, you. What? If it quacks, it's a duck. And I realized afterwards, because I was just speaking to him like a prophet, and prophets don't argue. They never argue. They just tell you. There's no debate. There's no democracy in the kingdom. What's all this you two standing up yakking at each other? Where'd you get that idea? What's all this, oh, I want you and I want you? Can you imagine if God did that? Okay, everybody, let's raise hands. Let's have a vote this morning for commandment number 3. Who wants the commandment? Oh, yeah, me. No, I don't think, yeah. Thank God you weren't on the Salvation Committee. Hallelujah. Thank God nobody asked your opinion when God decided to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. And I want to tell you something. Because I changed this scripture into Vaughan translation. The scripture says, hell and heaven are in the power of the tongue. Right? The Bible, right, actually, for some reason, translates it death and life. Puts death first. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A man will eat well by the fruit, Ephraim, of his lips. But if your lips are not Ephraim, if your lips are regret, if your lips are self-pity, if your lips are poor me, if your lips is, oh, I can't run the cross country, sir. Because I've been there. I know what it's like. I know the ministry of excuses. I know it well. And thank God, after a while, there's no more. After a while, yes, okay, we've all written our checks out, but then you have to put another 20 in. And then you have to put another 20 in. And I want to tell you something. There's something about moving quickly that changes your life. As soon as I heard, I'm listening to Miss Kim talking. You saw it. I wasn't showing off. It was just the way I am, all right? Miss Kim's going on about, well, we need to do this and cook that and prepare that. I thought, well, that's leaving me out, hallelujah. What do you think I got married for? I didn't marry Winnie for her money, hallelujah. And she didn't marry me for mine either, otherwise. And so, you know, I'm excluded. And I'm going, oh, no, no, take that off. No, can't do that. And we need money. Money, oh, can do that. Can do that. I'm going to do something quick. If there's going to be any kind of appeal, I'm going to find some way to do something quick. Quick. Diligence. That's how my diligence works, is to try and do it that way. So what I want to just touch on my favorite subject for a few minutes. In the last days, saith God, not the Assemblies of God, not the Pentecostal movement. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Slap yourself, see if you're flesh. Go on. Did it sting? If it didn't, you didn't slap yourself hard enough. If you need some help, I'll come and slap you for you gladly. And your sons and daughters will do what? They will speak forth that cannot be known by natural means. You see, in the beginning, God said, and then we will say, let there be light, let there be light. But the bit that gets me was, and it was so. That's the bit I like. God said, and it was so. See, my children were raised that way. So when I said, nothing can happen to my son, even though Wendy was still crying, because faith comes by hearing and I heard God, therefore I had to comfort her. Now, you need to stand by this thought. This is why many things in many of our lives, we are trying to still comfort you because you can't hear what we're hearing. Now, when I prophesy over somebody, like I did last week, and I begin to see in them what they can't see in themselves, but I can see it. I can see it in all of you. It's actually quite a frustrating life, but anyway, it's not the point. It really is. And so in the end, I had to talk to that lady again and say, you don't actually see what I see in you, do you? She said, no. I said, you're not a school teacher, you're not this, you're not that. You're a daughter of the King, and you've got something to say in this world. I was in Zambia, Zimbabwe, in June or July when we were there. Is anybody there? It was June, wasn't it? Remember we missed our ride and we crossed the border and missed our ride, and then I went off with that pastor dude. And anyway, this pastor dude, we went back to his church and made phone calls, eventually found the guy we were looking for. So praise God. And I've told this before, but as I was leaving, I said to him, I said, can I just pray for your church before we go? He said, certainly. And I began to pray and lift up my voice and begin to declare over his church. And he went, I've met you before. He said, I didn't recognize your face, but when you started praying, I know that voice. You see, faith comes by hearing. Yesterday, I had I don't know how much of this I can share. A classic day in a friend's church. I preached for 3 hours. I was just getting warmed up. And I love preaching for 3 hours, Bible school. And then, at the end of it, the pastor said, Vaughan, would you pray for some people here? I said, sure. A couple of them don't speak in tongues. Oh, okay. And as I began prophesying, he walked away. He's one of the toughest guys I personally know. He walked away, put his head against the wall, and began to weep. He said, I realize that I've been stopping that voice from coming into my church, and I need you to forgive me. You see, he knew Vaughan by the flesh. He had been seeing this 6'4" frame for years and years and years. But when that voice began to speak, something broke in his inner man. And see, what I know, and most of you don't, you also have that voice. And none of you can convince me I'm wrong. You see, because the scripture says, when Eldad and Medad were prophesying in the wrong place, and Joshua, the servant of Moses, came to Moses and said, oh, my Lord, forbid them. They're prophesying in the wrong place. And Moses, you see, because Joshua in those days was just a wow. Moses was a, watch this. Moses said, I wish to God that all God's people were prophets. That's what he said. A few years later, we remember Joel stood up and said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And then a few hundred years after that, we know Peter stood up and everybody was speaking tongues. Everybody was speaking in tongues. He said, this is that the prophet Joel spoke of in the last days. I pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And then Paul comes along in 1 Corinthians 14 and says, all may prophesy one by one that you may be edified. So therefore, we have that license by God to speak the way God speaks. Homologeo, one of the greatest words in the Bible, homo meaning obviously the same, and logeo meaning the logos. In the beginning was the logos. In other words, it's like saying homologeo, the same as the word Jesus. Are you okay with that? You see, faith is a person. So, homologeo means to speak the same word as, and that's why we need to understand that we can speak the same way as Jesus did. This is why he said, listen, I go to make a place for you so that where I am you may be also. He said, and the things I do, you shall do also, and greater things shall I go unto my Father. And if you ask anything in my name, but we don't believe it, because we don't trust in the Lord with all our heart. We lean on our own understanding. Oh, how's that going to happen? I don't know. Last week, I got in a guy's face as well. He's tough, so I can get in his face. Now, we had a deal about 6 or 8 months ago. I found out how much debt he had, and I told him that he had to get out of debt by October next year. And then last week, because I was in a fighting mood, you can laugh. If I get in a fighting mood in the spirit, you need to agree with me, not fight me. I'm serious. And I said, it's too long. I can't wait a year before you're full time in India. Can't wait a year. We need a miracle. He earns good money, but we need a miracle. Sure enough, that miracle began to manifest this week. It's beginning to manifest. Some things begin to happen. Some things begin to cook. This is why the scripture says, believe your God and so you shall be established. Believe his prophets and so you shall prosper. But the reality is there's a truth in that. Why do you think when I keep speaking and prophesying over my kids and my daughter, can I tell a story about that prophecy over? My daughter was speaking to me on Thursday about this young man in India that thinks he's going to marry my daughter. You guys, wouldn't you like to be there when I meet him? Wouldn't you like to be there? Wouldn't you like to be a? Wouldn't you like to be there going, here he comes. Oh, look, Vaughn's coming through immigration. Here he comes. Here he is. Oh, there's Abraham anticipating. Is it that hot or is he just sweating a lot? And I'm arriving at 3:45 in the morning. Now, that's the time to meet somebody for the first time. See what they're made of, especially being getting off a plane for after 20 hours, hallelujah. And so he's talking to Alice about, well, you know, when we get an apartment and I can get you a job in India. And Alice is going, get me a job in India? I'm a preacher. I live by faith. My dad, you get my point? Now, he's a doctor, so he's going, my dad. He's a doctor. And he's leaning on his own understanding. And my daughter's going, yeah, whatever my dad says comes to pass. And I keep saying, Alice, don't worry. Just wait till I get there. I'll sort him out. Don't worry about that. Yeah, you can laugh. I'm telling you, any of you met my other son-in-law? You know why most of you haven't? He's always in India. That's why you haven't met him. You get my point. So what happened? That's Thursday. Friday, Alice calls me over and says, Dad, guess what happened? What? Yesterday, Abraham got the first prophecy in his life. Now, isn't that amazing? How there's difficulty in my daughter's heart over this guy who wants to marry her. So God sends a prophet from England to India to sort him out for me. I'm telling you. God's really on the move in all of our lives. And I want you to help you get there. Okay, this is my closing thought. Hebrews 11:13 says, these men all died in faith, not having received the promise. But having seen it afar off, they were persuaded of it, and they embraced it, and they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners in the land. Right, confess. Homologeo. You see, I can see afar off a call on every one of your lives. But most of you can't. But I can see it. Not only can I see it, I'm persuaded of it. About your call. I'm embracing my call. I'm living my call. I'm living my dream. Are we okay to say that? But I can see in you. And I'm persuaded about you. But until you see it, and you're persuaded, and you embrace it, and you confess it, you're just going to go, wow, what happened there? When I want you to say, watch this. And God wants you to say, watch this. Amen. When Alice prayed and prophesied in that worship school in India, afterwards the guy said, are you Vaughn's daughter? She said, yeah, the people say I look like him. No, you sound like him. You prophesy like him. That voice, the voice of God, is what I want for all of you. I want it for all of you. So you're not a wow, you're a watch this.